Hello and welcome back to the podcast for this week. So Christmas season is finished, and I must apologise, I did make an error last week in finishing off and saying keep Christmas going for another week. I was in a state of confusion between the two calendars. In the Novus Ordo calendar, of course, Christmas ended on Monday with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. But in the older calendar, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is Saturday, this Saturday, the 13th of January. So it's one of those times in the year where when you move between two calendars, as I do, then you get confused sometimes. So if you're following the older calendar, whenever you hear this, you might still be in Christmas time, or you might be in time during the year. So this coming Sunday is the second Sunday of the year in Novus Ordo calendar, and it's the first Sunday after Epiphany. Might be the second one, I'm not sure. I haven't got that calendar beside me. But anyway, I'd like to talk today, and I've titled this reflection on the Sunday readings of the Novus Ordo Mass on We Believe and We Think. Faith and Reason. It was the founder of the Jesuits, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who coined the phrase in Latin, sentire cum ecclesia, which means to think with the Church. In one section of his famous book, The Spiritual Exercises, St. Ignatius describes this proper attitude that the believer should have towards the teachings and the practices, in other words, the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. We're not required to have blind obedience that some accuse us of, though since we are required to think with the Church, well, that requires that we actually think, because what the Church teaches is meant to appeal not only to our will, but to our reason. Our faith, the Catholic faith, is not afraid of reason and logic and thinking. But on the other hand, neither is our faith a set of arbitrary commands and isolated theological data. To enter more deeply into our faith is to enter more deeply into thinking about reality. Fallen human nature, however, has a boundless capacity for turning away from reality. The usual pattern is to substitute for reality something that's less demanding to us, made up of some truth and a greater deal of emotion. The less demanding thing that human nature tends to go for will not bear close analysis, though. It's usually fragmentary, sometimes incoherent, and even at odds with itself. Now, some in the Church, and most in the world, will not agree with St. Paul, as we hear in the second reading of this Sunday Mass. They will not agree with the enduring teaching of the Church that fornication is wrong. They might say that it's less than optimal, that other sins are far more serious. But this shows a determined attitude, a determined refusal, rather, to think. As an analogy, cholera is not the worst disease in the world, but in a cholera epidemic, it may as well be. When we have an attitude of thinking with the Church, engaging our reason and logic, then we can hear the message of chastity and purity of today's epistle to the Corinthians. But we need to put aside what passes for thinking. It's clear what St. Paul means. He's referring to the sins against the virtue of chastity. He specifically condemns practices that people today want to permit. Sex of all types outside of marriage, adultery, contraception, pornography. Why? He condemns them because our bodies belong to Christ. Christ has purchased our bodies. the price of his blood. St. Paul then makes the startling statement that the Lord is for the body. The Lord is for the body, not against it. God made us not just as animals and not as angels. We are a unique creation in the created order. We are embodied spirits, embodied souls, a soul in a body. We are not a soul trapped in a body. Our bodies matter. Try going to Mass and leave your body at home. You can't do it. You need your body. Your body is how you manifest your personhood in the world and make your personhood visible. Our bodies are good in themselves. What is interior to us, our intellect, our free will, our ability to love, and our ability to be in communion with others are all expressed through our bodies. Furthermore, we are a unity of body and spirit. What we do to the body or with the body, we do to and with our whole self. The body is not a tool or instrument. God being for the body goes even further than how he has created us. In redeeming us, he has also made our bodies holy by making them temples of the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation. This is all the more reason that we should live the virtue of purity and a life of chastity. The reason many don't want to hear the Church's long-standing sexual ethics is because it expresses God's will in the matter of chastity. Like a loving parent, God says, "Don't be impure or unchaste. It's not for your good." But as we know, the Christian life is never just about avoiding sin. That's only the bare minimum. Being a mature servant of God, not a cantankerous child or an arrogant teenager, comes not just from avoiding evil, but from progress in doing what is good and virtuous. That's why St. Paul finishes with a positive phrase, "Glorify God in your body." Give glory to God with your body. There are many ways we can do this. Let me just mention some. First of all, always dress carefully and well. How you clothe the body is so important. Especially when coming to Mass, dress in a way that says, "I'm coming into the presence of the Eternal King." Then, to treat our bodies indifferently or to harm our body is to dishonour God, who made us and gave us our body and our soul with all their capacities. The Church has always understood the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," to include sins against the body, whereby we don't take care of our body or we don't respect our body. Thirdly, modesty. Modesty is a protector of purity. Modesty avoids vulgar language and humour. It avoids sexually explicit entertainment, and it shuns clothes that are provocative in favour of clothes that are dignified and or elegant. And lastly, we can glorify God in our body by making a point of serving the sick and the elderly and the physically disadvantaged. Christ, who suffered so much in his body, has taught us that all people, whether weak or strong, beautiful or disabled, share the dignity of being loved by Christ. When Christ comes to us in Holy Communion, he gives us the gift of his body and blood, soul and divinity. He sanctifies our body and our soul with his presence. For a brief time, our bodies are like the tabernacle. We house the living God. Let us then strive even more to treat our bodies well, to be chaste and pure, like Our Lady and Saint Joseph. Let us do God's will in all things. Laudetur Jesus Christus.